Open up your Bibles to Exodus 15. We looked at all of chapter 14 through the first nine of the rules, and now chapter 15 will be Red Sea rule number 10, which is don't forget to praise Him. Don't forget to praise Him. Kind of interesting that this one falls on Thanksgiving weekend, the last one. Didn't plan it that way, but this is a weekend when all of our hearts should be tuned toward thanksgiving and praise to God. We should do that every weekend, but especially this weekend. So follow as I read chapter 15, starting in verse 1. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for He hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider hath He thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare Him a habitation. My father's God, and I will exalt Him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is His name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath He cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. And in the greatness of Thine excellency Thou hast overthrown them that rose up against Thee. Thou sendest forth Thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble. And with the blast of Thy nostrils the waters were gathered together. The flood stood upright as in heap, and the depths were congealed into the hearts of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. Thou didst blow with Thy wind, the sea covered them. They sank as lead in the mighty waters. Who is like unto Thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like Thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Thou stretchest out Thy hand, the earth swallowed them. Thou in Thy mercy hast led forth the people which Thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in Thy strength unto Thy holy habitation. The people shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold of the habitation of Philistina. Then the dukes of Edom shall be amazed. The mighty men of Moab, trembling, shall take hold upon them. All the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away. Fear and dread shall fall upon them by the greatness of Thine arm. They shall be as still as a stone, till Thy people pass over, O Lord, till the people pass over which Thou hast purchased. Thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mountain of Thine inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which Thou hast made for Thee to dwell in the sanctuary, O Lord, which Thy hands have established. The Lord shall reign forever and ever. The horse of Pharaoh went in with his chariots and with his horsemen into the sea, and the Lord brought again the waters of the sea upon them. But the children of Israel went on dry land in the midst of the sea. And Miriam, the prophetess and sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. And Miriam answered them, Sing ye to the Lord, for He hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider hath He thrown into the sea. So quite a song of praise by Moses and the people, and again, after deliverance, after we go through whatever trial the Lord brings us through, after that trial, don't forget to praise Him, okay? Let's just really quickly review. Number one, realize God means for you to be where you are. God makes no mistakes. Understand that. Number two, be more concerned for God's glory than your relief. A lot of times we just want to be relieved, but we should be more concerned for God's glory. Number three, acknowledge your enemy, but keep your eye on the Lord. Okay? We do need to know about our enemy, but our eyes should always be fixed upon the Lord. Number four, pray. Don't forget to pray. Number five, stay calm and confident and give God time to work. Sometimes He needs time. He uses the time in our life to do things to us and maybe to bring other people to places where they need to be. Number six, when unsure, Just take the next logical step of faith. Remember, God told them to turn around and walk. Just take a step into the sea. Number 7, envision God's enveloping presence. God is always with us. Number 8, trust God to deliver in His own unique way. He parted the sea for them, and how will He deliver us? God will. It will be unique. Number 9, what we looked at last week, view your current crisis as a faith builder for the future. And number 10, don't forget to praise Him. What was it like that day to be a newly freed Israeli slave, and you had just walked through the Red Sea on dry land, and now you see your enemies, as we're told in the text, all lying dead on the seashore? What was it like? They were crushed to death, and they were drowned by the water, and they were drowned by the mighty power of the water, but more importantly, the mighty power of God. Were they silent? Were they speechless? Were they shouting for joy and amazement? Now the terror was over. The enemy was gone. The night was past. And there was nothing left, friends, but the soft splash of the waves on the shore and the stillness of a new daybreak. Have you ever been to the ocean and just sat there when it's quiet, no people there, and just hear the seagulls and hear the water and see the new day? And what was it like for them? Then it came, friends, so silently. Moses begins to sing. Then more added to the great choir. Then Miriam begins to play her trimble. A trimble is the Hebrew word taf, and the word means a drum. Uh-oh. It means a drum. And it's very equivalent to our modern-day skinned tambourine. Now, there's two types of tambourines. There's tambourines that are just the wood ring with the bells, and then there's the kind that has the drum head on it. And that is very similar to what this would have been, okay? And so Moses begins to sing, Miriam begins to play her trimble, the women begin to dance, and soon the whole camp is singing praises unto God for His great deliverance. What a day that must have been to be there. It's a day that to this day, when during the Passover season, the Jewish people still remember, probably outside of the Lord Jesus' deliverance from our sin, the greatest act of deliverance that ever took place on planet Earth. And it's remembered every year. So notice point number 1, the perspective of praise. The perspective of praise. And when we think of the word perspective, we're thinking of a particular attitude towards something, or a way of regarding something. And Spurgeon said of this passage, of this chapter 15 of Exodus, he said, wash your face every morning in a bath of praise. Isn't that wonderful? When you wake up in the morning and you go to the mirror and you wash the sleep out of your eyes, and you wash your face, and you comb your hair if you have any, make sure you praise God every morning. Do we need a crisis to praise God? No, we don't. But why is it so often we only praise God after He delivers us from a crisis? One of the reasons God places us, though, in difficult situations is to give us an opportunity to praise Him. He expects our gratitude for His deliverance. And sadly, when things are going smoothly, we often neglect to praise Him. Ungratefulness is too common. In Luke chapter 17, if you turn there for a moment, Luke chapter 17, verse 11. We have the account of the 10 lepers, the healing of the 10 lepers. And it came, verse 11, Luke 17, 11. Came to pass as he went to Jerusalem, as he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee, and as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. They lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go, show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that, as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? They are not found that return to give God glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole. So, you know, people praising God and thanking God, even for great deliverance, is so uncommon. Here were 10 people in the same condition. 9 of them Jewish, 1 of them a Samaritan. They hated each other, but their misery brought them together. And if you were a leper in those days, you were quarantined, okay? And back in those days, they quarantined sick people, not healthy people. I digress, I'm sorry. They quarantined them, and they lived alone in leper colonies. And the misery of living amongst a dying people. There was no cure for leprosy. And then one comes back, and he's a Samaritan. You know what the Jews thought of the Samaritans. And so he comes back, and he gives God praise. Too many people, even Christians, don't give God the praise that he deserves. The 17th century English Puritan and Bible commentator named John Trapp wrote this. He lets out his mercies to us for the rent of our praise, and is content that we may have the benefit of them so he may have the glory. You know, God does things in our lives so that we can give him glory and praise and honor. But how can we better thank our God? How can we live a more praise-oriented life? You know, friends, how do we do this? Well, I believe that you and I need to first and foremost cultivate an attitude of gratitude, okay? I'm not that smart to come up with those rhyming words like that. I stole that, okay? But we need to come up with an attitude of gratitude. And we should always have that attitude of gratitude for everything that God does for us, for the little things, and for a day that is even free of trials and tribulation. Praise him for that. You know, I think another way that we can praise God more is spend more time outdoors adoring the sights, sounds, smells of God's creation, and then praise him for them. You know, too many people spend too much time indoors. Too many people spend too much time looking at some sort of screen, whether it's an iPad, a cell phone, computer, or TV screen. We need to be outside. We need to be outside enjoying his creation, looking, listening, smelling, all the wonderful sights and sounds. And this will help us. We live in a very beautiful part of the world where it's very easy to see God's handiwork all around us. So we should get used to that and do that and praise him. We should learn to praise God for not only large blessings, but also small blessings. And just thank Him for small things. You know, and it starts as easy as thanking Him for the meal that is before us. Thanking Him for the strength to work and the job that puts the gives us the money that puts the food on our table. We realized here not too long ago and continuing to realize how delicate the food chain is from farm to table. And read an article this morning, and I did not know this. Did you know that 40% of the vegetables and fruits and nuts consumed in America grow in California? I didn't know that they were that agricultural. But the laws of California are driving more and more and more farmers away. And what's going to happen, you know? And how delicate it is to get that food from, you know, from the ground to market basket, you know? And we need to thank God for that. So even when we pray and thank God for our food, you know, we realize the Bible says the Lord is just and gracious and merciful, and He even lets the rain fall on the good, on the just and the unjust. Learn to praise God through good times and difficult times. It's tough to praise Him while going through difficult times, but we need to learn to praise Him. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. He's always there. Listen to good quality Christian music that praises God. You know, listen to those kind of things that praise God. Spend at least, I hope you spend more than, you have more than one time a day in prayer, but spend at least one of your prayer times a day just praising God. Don't ask Him for anything. Don't ask for anybody else. Do nothing but praise God. And see if you can make those times longer and longer each day. And ask God to make you more and more thankful for everything you see around you. Attend church when the doors are open and learn to joyfully sing God's praises with His people. Joyfully sing. And God deserves our praise. Psalm 122, one of the psalms that I read every Sunday morning. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Are you glad on Sunday mornings that you get to be with God's people and praise Him? And then the last one, praise Him for the promises you read in His Word and pay careful attention to the times of praise in His Word. Of course, when you read through the Psalms, you can't help but praise God. But pay careful attention to all those times in the Word when people are praising God. And what are they praising Him for? So we, as His children, need to develop an attitude of gratitude, to be a thankful people, not just November 20, whatever the day is when Thanksgiving comes, but praise Him every day, because He's worthy of our praise every day. We need to develop a perspective of praise. Now, think about this. Below, friends, the storm clouds, below, the storm clouds gather and the storm rage. But above the clouds, it is bright and peaceful and calm. Okay, same day, same situation, just a different perspective. One of the times that I went to the Philippines, I flew over there on an airline called Cathay Pacific, which is a union of British Airways and some airway in Hong Kong. And our layover flight, we were coming home from the Philippines. So we flew from Manila to Hong Kong. Then we were flying from Hong Kong to JFK in New York. And this was a particular difficult trip in the Philippines. I brought my niece Crystal with us, who at the time was thinking about being a nurse and going into medical missions. And while we were there, Crystal became a patient of the medical mission team. She had a severe case of appendicitis, and she needed her appendix taken out in a third world country. Had to call her mother, all kinds of fun stuff. Anyway, so here we are. And it only cost, here's the good thing, it only cost $100. So if you want to have a low-cost appendicitis operation, take a mission trip with a medical team. But anyway, so of course she's in a lot of pain. And so we're coming home, and we're in Hong Kong, and we're all getting on the airplane, and the pilot comes on, and he is speeding up. He is telling the stewardesses to please speed up the process. We need to get out of Hong Kong right now, or we'll be delayed here for maybe even a day. A storm was coming in, and if any of you have ever been to Hong Kong or seen Hong Kong, Hong Kong Bay is there, and there's mountains all around. And when a storm comes, it just settles in, okay? So the pilot comes on, and he says, I want to apologize ahead of time. He says, this is going to be tough, okay? But we'll be okay. But if we don't get out now, we're going to be here for a while. So he took off, and he put that plane on an angle that I've never been, and we went up through this storm. And I have never been in such turbulence. The overheads were opening, okay? And luggage was falling out. And people were screaming. And I said, Lord, this is how I'm coming home. And I looked over at my niece, who we had just given her a pain pill, and she was like this. I said, thank God Crystal won't know that we're going to die. And we got up through that clouds, the pilot leveled off, and it was as smooth as glass. Same storm, different side of the storm, right? Below, the storm is raging. There's all kinds of turbulence. Above, smooth as glass. So it depends upon our perspective of things. Same clouds, just looked at from a different perspective. Turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. So we are to what? Seek things that are above. So same storm, right? Set your affections on things what? Above the storm. Just like that airplane. Above the storm, it was calm. And people, you know, began to calm down. And you know, it was a smooth flight all the way home. But below, the storm was raging. Now, Ecclesiastes, on Wednesday night, we're going through Ecclesiastes. And we're familiar with this phrase. But in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, it says, vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanities. What profit hath a man of all his labor which he taketh what? Under the sun. So we know the book of Ecclesiastes is looking at life under the sun. Looking at the life, at life without God. And under the sun, what happens? The storm rages. And there's no relief. But set your affections on things that are what? Above. Same storm, different perspective. I want to read a passage from the book here about a man by the name of Martin Reinhardt. Martin Reinhardt lived in 1586 to 1644. You might not know who Martin Reinhardt is, but just this past Praise and Pie service, we sang a song he wrote, Now Thank We All Our God. Okay, he's the author of that hymn. In the history of the Christian church, some of our greatest hymns have come in the darkest moments. Take, for example, the German hymn, Now Thank We All Our God, written by Martin Reinhardt. A Lutheran pastor in the village of Ehlensburg, Saxony, son of a poor coppersmith, he began his ministry during the horrors of the 30 Years' War as floods of refugees were streaming into the walled city of Ehlensburg. Plague and famine decimated the population, and people began dying in increasing numbers. Reinhardt was officiating as many as 50 funerals a day, including his wife. When the Swedes demanded a huge ransom, Martin Reinhardt left the safety of the walls to negotiate with the enemy. And he did it with such courage and faith that there was soon a conclusion of hostilities and the period of suffering ended. It was out of this experience that Reinhardt wrote the great hymn, Now Thank We All Our God. Different perspective, right? Below the storm rages. Could you imagine not only burying your wife, but doing 50 funerals a day? You know, that's how many people were dying from the disease. You know, the world has always had its difficult times, and we're living in a difficult time. Not that difficult. The enemy is not outside our walls yet, but we need to just look, you know, develop a perspective of praise. How could he write a song like that after what he just went through? He was dwelling on another plane, wasn't he? Set your affection on things above, not under the sun. If we see things from God's point of view, then praise is the natural expression of joyful confidence and triumphant thanksgiving at what God has done, what God is doing, and what God will do. If you're saved today, you are God's child. You are joint heir with Christ. And God means everything for our what? Good or bad? For our good. He means everything for our good. Even when we go through such a trial as Reinhardt went through, yes, he means it for our good. And we need to develop that attitude of gratitude. So whether you are on the east shore or the west shore of the Dead Sea, whether you are facing a trial and depending on God to deliver you, or whether he has just delivered you, praise God. For he will make a way. And as he does, don't forget to praise him. Look at Matthew 8 with me, please. Matthew 8. Matthew 8, verse 18. It says, Now when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave commandment to depart unto the, what's the last two words? Don't forget those two words. What did he command the people to do? What did he command his disciples to do? To go to the other side. And a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said unto him, Follow me, and let the dead bury their dead. So here are two people who want to follow Jesus, but they're not willing to pay the ultimate price. So he tells his disciples in verse 18 to go to the other side. Now notice verse 23. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. Kind of like my prayer on the airplane that day. And he said unto them, verse 26, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose, rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? And then, when they were come to the other side, same word, where did he tell them to go? To the other side. Where did they make it to? The other side. What happened in between? Pretty bad storm, right? A pretty bad storm. But what does the storm sometimes expose in our life? Our lack of faith. Oh, ye of little faith. And they marveled that he could control the wind and the waves. Of course he could. He did it in Exodus 14, right? He parted the sea for them. And with the wind, and then he took the wind away, and the sea came down and drowned all the Egyptians. Go to chapter 14. In case we didn't catch it, in case the disciples didn't catch it, look what happens in Matthew 14, verse 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitude away. And when he sent the multitude away, he went into a mountain apart to pray, and when the evening was come, he was there alone. Now, if any of you have ever been to Israel, you'll know that one of the mountains that is surrounding the Sea of Galilee is Mount Arbel. So more than likely, he was on Mount Arbel. I had the privilege to preach a Sunday morning message on top of Mount Arbel when we were there, one of the highlights of my ministry. But he tells them to what? Go to the other side. But he sends them there, but he doesn't go with them this time. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea. Now notice the first time when he sent the disciples to the other side, where was Jesus? In the boat. Okay? And while he was in the boat, they were what? Petrified. You have little faith. Now I want to increase your faith. I'm going to send you into another storm. They don't know this. This time I'm not with you, okay? Although we know he is. But the ship was now, verse 24, in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit, and they cried out with fear. Now, a little history here. The first century Jewish people believed that the Sea of Galilee was the entrance to the abyss, to the underworld, to life. So, you know, all kinds of folklore, you know, I grew up in New Jersey and we had the Jersey Devil, you know, not the hockey team, but, you know, the real Jersey Devil. And not that he was real, but it was folklore. A witch had the 13th child and blah, 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 born on Friday the 13th, all that good stuff. What it really did was kept the moonshiners and the city people out of South Jersey, not the moonshiners, but the government men out of the woods where they were making moonshine. But that's a story for another day. Folklore. I don't know how I got there. But anyway, but straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it's I, be not afraid. So he's telling them again, don't be afraid, it's me. Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come out, down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Amazing, isn't that? He's walking on the water. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. Beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. What's one of the Red Sea rules? Acknowledge your enemy, but keep your eyes on the Lord. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried, saying, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come unto the ship, the wind ceased. And then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. And when they were gone over, they came to the land of Gennesaret. So what happened? Again, Jesus says, go to the other side. And did they make it to the other side? But in the midst, there was a what? A storm. And sometimes, friends, storms come to our life. And sometimes the other side is here on earth. Sometimes the other side is the other side of the Jordan. Glory. But there's always the other side. For Israel, it literally was the other side of the Red Sea. They entered the east side, they came out on the west side. They walked through the Red Sea. You remember, I don't know if I told you the account of a man who denied the Bible. And he was debating an old simple country preacher about how there was no great miracle that God led the people across the Red Sea because the Red Sea is only inches deep. So this old country preacher started doing a glory dance and shouting and jumping up and down. And the Bible denier said, I just told you that it was no great miracle that God delivered the children of Israel through the Red Sea. It's only inches deep. And the old country preacher said, nope, God did a miracle. He drowned the whole Egyptian army in inches of water. So a Bible believer will find a miracle wherever God says there's a miracle. But God will do great things for us if we trust Him. And He does these things to build our faith. So friends, number one, realize that God means for you to be where you are. There's no accidents. If you're in the midst of a storm, if you're facing a storm, if you're not, God means for you right now to be where you are. He led the children of Israel there. Be more concerned for God's glory than for your relief. How can we glorify God through this? Acknowledge your enemy, but keep your eye on the Lord. Don't be like Peter that looked around and saw the storm. Acknowledge your enemy, but keep your eye on the Lord. Pray. How little we pray. Stay calm and confident. Give time, God, to work. Don't be so worried about, I need to get out of this, I need to get out of this, I need to get out of this. Stay calm and confident. Allow God to work. When unsure, just take the next logical step by faith. What do I do? Just keep doing what you're supposed to do. Do what God tells you to do. What did He tell Israel to do? Go. Go. But there's water. Go. Just do it. Envision God's enveloping presence. Remember, the glory cloud for Israel gave them light, but for the enemies it confused them. Trust God to deliver in His own unique way. Sometimes God delivers miraculously. Sometimes He does it not miraculously, but He delivers. View your current crisis as a faith builder for the future. You know, each time it should build our faith. And number 10, don't forget to praise Him. I hope, friends, that this has been helpful to you. And, you know, we live in a time of the world when it's confusing. You know, we suffered through COVID-19. Then we suffered through the Delta variant. Now it seems we're going to be suffering through the, what you call the Omicron, variant. And listening to certain doctors, not all of them the talking heads from the news, but some said this is probably going to be with us forever. It's going to just keep changing variants like the flu. So what do we do? Quarantine? Hide? No. I'm not saying don't be foolish. I'm not saying don't seek, to be wise, but don't panic. Trust God. Trust God. Has this, anybody want to share a testimony how this has helped or hasn't helped? Or the last 10 weeks you wasted your time, whatever it may be? No, go ahead. Amen. 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 What? Yep. It's going to be something. We don't know. And like I said, don't stand on the mast of the boat and say, bring it on. Bring on the next trouble. It's going to come. It's going to come. But we don't have to do that. But trust God and praise God for the other side. Thanks for sharing that. Anyone else? Anything? All right. Well, remember these. And remember Exodus 14 and 15. And when you're in a trial, you're not going to, I really doubt we'll ever be in a trial like Israel was. But when you're in your next trial, read Exodus 14 and 15. And with Moses and Miriam, get out your tambourine and start dancing and praising the Lord. And, if that doesn't do your cold New England fundamental heart any good, you got to warm it up a little bit, and maybe JR can come over and play the tambourine for you, and we can give the Lord praise. Seriously, we need to praise God and thank Him for all that He's done for us.